Come on, did it speak to you at all? Looking at life through heaven's eyes, looking at life through heaven's eyes, looking at life through heaven's eyes. This is temporal. This is temporal. This is temporal. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For the things which we see are temporal, but the things which we do not see are eternal. And in this year, 2020, the year of seeing and believing, one of the things that I want to start out with is helping you to raise your sights, to see through heaven's eyes, to see through eyes of faith. You say, how am I going to see anything different? Okay, I'm going to help you with that. You're going to have to be able to see through eyes of faith. And I want to talk a little bit about it from the perspective of how God sees you and I and how the enemy has tried to blind all of us. I want to tell you that the moment you became born again, the blinders came off of your eyes. The moment you were born again, the blinders came off of your eyes. Jesus spoke to Nicodemus and said, you can't even see the kingdom without being born again. The moment you're born again, somebody should have been talking to you about the kingdom right then. The kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. Yeah, you're saved, but I need to talk to you about the kingdom, the manifestation of the kingdom, the power of the kingdom, the fullness of the kingdom in operation, because that's where you are now. Not joined a church. Church is great, local fellowship, but I need you to now begin to see the kingdom. I need you to see the power of the kingdom. And that's what Paul was talking about in Ephesians when he writes and he says this in Ephesians 1. And I kind of did some editing, so you can read it, Ephesians 1, 18 through 23. But this is verse 18. It says, I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened. I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened. See, faith has to do inside, not what you see in the natural. And so when we talk about 2020 being the year of seeing and believing, yes, you're going to see some things in the natural, but I want to help you to recognize that it starts here first. Okay, you have to envision yourself in the vision. Okay, you have to envision yourself in the vision. So often, God is showing us something. We'll look at that in a minute. He's showing us something, but we're seeing ourselves outside of it rather than what he's showing us. We're right in the center of it. As a matter of fact, there's certain things he's showing us. He says, this won't happen except that you see it. You will not arrive in the place that I've purposed for you except that you see yourself there. And that seeing is eternal, internal first, and then it's manifested. Then there's the transformation, the metamorpho, the changing process that then breaks out. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God working in you and I that is producing that manifestation of the kingdom. And so when Paul is writing here, he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. Say, hope of his calling. Say it a little louder, hope of his calling. It says, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? You don't have to repeat that. And what is the surpassing greatness? Now get this. What is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe? Or you could say it this way, surpassing greatness of his power available to us who believe. Now, what Paul is saying is, I'm praying that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened. He's saying, you got to get this revelation. You need this revealing from the inside out. You can be talked to all day, but you've got to get it from the inside. That's what manifests it out. Now, the other part of that is, you see it, but then you've got to believe it. That's why 2020, the year of seeing and believing, and I know it goes back and forth. Some things you have to believe before you see it, but you got to see and then believe and then you see, all right? So through that song, through heaven's eyes, what I love about it is saying, listen, recognize we only see in part, we only know in part. It's only over time and only once we get into eternity do we really understand the full gravity of what our lives were worth, what we accomplished, what didn't get accomplished. I believe when we get to heaven and it says there that God will wipe away all the tears from their eyes, why would people be crying in heaven? God will wipe away all the tears from their eyes. Why would people be crying in heaven? Well, I think for some it's going to be a rejoicing, but for others I think it's going to be the reality of what life could have been for them had they understood all that was available to them as a result of being born again and walking in the kingdom. Now, I got to try to say a whole lot of things in this little bit of time that we have, but I want to help heirs now. I'm talking to heirs, and I'm talking to those of you that are joined to this house. In this year of seeing and believing, don't be distracted by what you don't see. Let me say it again. Don't be distracted by what you don't see. You've got to be able to see through eyes of faith. Now, that's where the writer says, the just shall live by faith. That's where the scripture also says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Meaning that there's going to be seasons in your lives, and some of you find yourself there right now where it's not adding up. It doesn't seem to be adding up. But that's where you got to see through heaven's eyes. What do I mean when I say heaven's eyes? All of heaven is standing at attention to back you and I up. Let me say that again. All of heaven is standing at attention to back you and I up. It's as if there's angels just waiting, just pacing back and forth. As soon as they believe, I can get this done. As soon as they see it, I can start heading that direction. So the thing, the calling on your life, the things that God's purpose to bring in your life, the things that God's purpose to do in you and through you, it's like there's angels on assignment. There's a heavenly host that's just kind of standing there watching. All of them watching. And as soon, he believes. Here we go. And they start moving to bring it about and help to make it come to pass. Are you getting a visual of what I'm saying here? I'm trying to help us understand that you and I have a host of help and the intercessor of all intercessors praying for us, Jesus. So you can't fail except that you choose to fail. I'm gonna say that again. That just felt right. You can't fail except that you choose to fail. You cannot succeed except that you choose not to succeed, meaning you quit. I remember when we were on the corner of Crescentville and 747. Now I'm talking about seeing and believing. And I have preached and taught and sweat and spit and sweat and for years talking about ridiculous faith, talking about walking in places with God where you see the miraculous happen, where you see the impossible come into manifestation. And I remember being on that corner, and I remember when God began to deal with my heart concerning what I was saying versus what I was seeing. Now, for some of you, that's where you find yourself because you feel like you're saying all the right things, but nothing's happening. The visual's not changing for you. And what I want to submit to you is this. One, you got to keep believing. Secondly, you got to keep assessing and allow the Holy Spirit to recalibrate you so that things around you begin to shift as well. Because the work that's happening is eternal and it's internal. It's eternal and it's internal. And I remember when I was in South Africa and my bishop called me up and gave me a word, and he said, God says, you said you've been waiting on him, but God says, but you're not waiting on him. You stopped. And when he said that, Brandon, it caused me to begin to break, and I began to cry, and I began to say, God, what is it? And God said, you stopped. What I put in your heart to do, I can do, I will do. But you stopped. And what I recognized, men, is that at that point I had to make a decision. Do I align myself with what I believe God was saying, or do I just keep acting like, no, I'm waiting on you, God. No, I'm just waiting on you. Can I tell you something? And I shared this with our team recently, some of our team, our core group that got together, and I was talking about the acquisition of this property and all that it took to get here. And I remember I told the team, I said, I can tell you this. I got a small glimpse of Jesus being in the garden when the weight of what he saw, the weight of it began to land on him. Hear me now, because you have to know this. When you are in place of seeing the manifestation of something God has shown you, the closer you get to it, the weight of it begins to land on you the closer you get to it. Not once you're there. When Jesus was in the garden was when he began to feel the weight of what he had come to do. That's why in the garden he says, Father, if there's any other way, then he said, nevertheless, not my will. But for that fleeting moment, his carnality, his flesh was overwhelmed by the reality. And it was in that moment that he could have given up. But thank God he didn't. Thank God he didn't. Thank God he didn't. Okay, so y'all sitting out there like, yeah, well, okay, I guess. Thank God. I'm saying thank God. If you're born again, you need to thank God. Thank God. Come on, thank God. Come on, thank, I mean, open your mouth and thank God. You can clap tomorrow. Open your mouth and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you that if I was the only one, you would have come for me. I thank you for it. Come on, I'm pulling you in this morning. I'm pulling you in. I'm pulling you in. And I remember, and I told them, I said, I found myself in this place where what I had been believing God for, now it seemed like it was happening. It was happening. But while it was happening, the closer I got to it, the more the weight of the responsibility of it began to set in. And I remember saying, Kasha, in my mind, in my heart, I didn't say out loud. I remember saying, well, you know, if we don't get all the money, it just won't happen. And well, I tried. What am I saying? If you and I are not completely sold out, you can figure a way out. The enemy will give you a convenient way out. And some of the things that you and I are pressing into in this season to see, you have to know that the enemy will help to provide options so that you never see that reality. You see a reality, but not necessarily that reality, the one that God, the Father, has shown you. And I remember just having that feeling as the weight of it began to set in. And Aaron's family, this is weighty. This is weighty. And my prayer is that as many of you that are joined to this house, that your eyes would be open and you will see that you help to make this happen. You will see that you own it as well. You will see that everybody that comes in this building that's ministered to is because of your faith. It's because you stepped up. It's because you decided to join your faith with my faith. And here we are today. Now, that's a good point right there, just to clap your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. I want to tell you that people all over the country sowed into this. People all over the country sowed into this. When the clarion call went out, I'll never forget, we were down in Florida. Pastor Maurice and I and my mother-in-law, along with a couple of the granddaughters. And I'll never forget being down there, and that weight began to set in. And when that weight began to set in, here's the thing. When the weight begins to set in, it can obscure the vision if you let it. But that's when you need the vision to be crystal clear. That's when you need to pull out the tablet. You need to pull out the journal. You need to pull out the pamphlet. You know what I had? I had the piece that I put together that we used, that we sent out when we were gathering funds, you know, sharing about the embassy and casting vision for it. I had that with me down there because I just kept looking at it, praying over it, saying, God, if you don't do it, it ain't going to happen. But I remember laying in the bed and I said, God, I what do I do? And he told me what to do. He said, make this phone call. I made a phone call to my bishop and said, hey, you know, we're it's getting slow. We're getting to, you know, to an end. Because here's the thing. When you are in that place of envisioning vision, envisioning yourself in the vision. God will send the help to bring it to pass if you keep believing. If you keep believing. If you keep believing. And there are wavering times. The challenge for many in the body of Christ, they live a wavering life. One day you're blessed, highly favored of the Lord. The next day you're down and I just don't know why my stuff ain't looking like sister so-and-so's or brother so-and-so stuff. And you just kind of keep going up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. And you know what? You live all your life there, and at the end of your life you will die and you will go to heaven. But you never really did a whole lot here. Because you love God, went to church, but your life was like this. Yes. On the mountain high, glory to God. Down the valley low, help me, Jesus. On the glory, you know, up, down, up, down, up, 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 down. But there has to be a constance in your faith and your believing. There has to be a constance in your faith and in your believing. So while I'm down there and I'm in that place of saying, okay, this is getting tough, this is getting tough, this is getting hard, I made that phone call and I said, we need X amount of dollars to come in. He said, send me a text of a little bit about your vision, a little bit about the vision of the property, what God wants to do. I'm gonna send a text out to some of our team. I'm gonna add a little bit to it. He said, don't answer a text before they get an email. Some of them don't look at their emails till other, you know, a few days. He sent out a text and within hours, the money started to flow. From around the country, 1,000, 2,000, 5,000, 7,000, 10,000, 20,000, all the way up to the closing on the property this time last year, January 17th. But in order to get here, I had to admit on Crescentville and 747, and I looked at the team and I said, I need y'all to look around now. I said, what you see, this isn't me. This isn't me. And it wasn't a statement of arrogance or pride, Gary. It was a statement of the capacity on the inside of me. Right. It's not being manifested yet. Then the question becomes, why not? I'm asking you now, why not then? Why all that capacity in you, all that word in you, why is it not? Is it possible because you still see yourself small and insignificant, even though you can quote the word? Even though all of heaven is standing at attention, backing you up, saying the moment that you see it, the moment that you believe it, we got you. Favor begins to work on your behalf. Doors begin to open. People begin to show up you never knew ever existed in order to bring about the fulfillment of what God has purposed to do in you, what he has shown you, and what you have agreed to in terms of what you now see. Got to see through heaven's eyes. One of the challenges that we face is the enemy has a way of trying to keep us in the dark, to blind us so that we can't see. And make no mistake, even believers are still walking around in the dark. Held captive by religion. There's a movie, I'm going to wrap up this time now. There's a movie called The Shadow. And y'all remember that movie? I remember this clip from years ago, The Shadow. How many of you ever seen the movie The Shadow? None of y'all? Jim, yeah, Jim, he's like, yeah, I seen it. Got it right at home. I might watch it this afternoon. The Shadow. Y'all seen the movie The Shadow? It's an old movie. You know, it's not one of those. Came out years ago. One of the Baldwin brothers is in it. The premise of the movie is this. It's about this guy who has this. He's a crook at first, and then he has this ability to be able to see, you know, in the spirit type things, and he ends up out in this somewhere over in Tibet or somewhere like that, and he's robbing and he's doing different things. Well, they catch him and they bring him to this monk, like this priest guy. I'm setting this up for this clip I'm going to show you. And in the movie, when they bring him up, come on, smile, Marcia, you looking at it. Come on, smile. Smile. They bring him up and they say, the emperor wants to see you. And they bring him up and he said, emperor. He says, emperor, in that little thing, and it's this little hut. But all around the hut is this fog. He says, you, and the guy with him says, no, not there, there. And when he points, all the fog dissipates. And there's this huge monastery sitting there. And the guy says, where did that come from? He said, the clouded mind sees nothing. He said, the clouded mind sees nothing. Now, how does that relate to you and I? Well, I'll tell you, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse 1, says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, since we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God. But by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. It says, and even if our gospel is veiled, say hid. Come on. It is veiled, say hid, to those who are perishing, in whose case, listen now, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The devil, the enemy, is blinding the minds of many and even, listen to me now, and even believers, because you see, you can give your life to Christ, but if you're more stuck on religion than relationship, there's a good chance you still got some blinders on. There's still some fog that's keeping you from seeing all that God has really intended for you. And so, in the movie, they show him, and he goes in and he talks to the emperor, and the emperor does some things to him, and basically he leaves there. And when he leaves there, he now has this ability to cloak himself in this shadowy type of effect, and he has the ability to, the power of suggestion, where he can speak something to somebody and they'll do what he says, as if it was their thought. You staying with me? So, as the movie begins to play out, there's a scene where the arch villain shows up, who happens to be Genghis Khan. You can study your history. Stay with me, Marcia. Keep smiling. And so, Genghis Khan shows up, and he wants to take over the world again. Now, the shadow guy wants to stop him. So there's a scene where he's chasing him and they're going through the city, and he comes around the corner and the arch villain, Genghis Khan, is gone. He can't find it. But he should have been able to see him when he came around the corner. Y'all with me now? Staying with me. Okay, now, he befriends this lady who's in the city, and he's talking to her about trying to find this arch villain. And he says, you know, I almost had him until we got to the corner of this major intersection downtown. And he was gone. He says, you know, and there's something strange about that corner. He says, I'm standing there. He says, and what used to be on that corner? What used to be on that corner? She says, I don't know. He says, well, look into that for me. So she comes back and says, well, you know what? back in the so-and-so time, they built this huge building on the corner. He says, really? When did they tear it down? She said, I don't remember. Now watch this scene from the movie. Isn't that a great visual? Did you hear him say, he has hypnotized the entire city. No one can see it. But I see it. What is it for 2020 that God is saying, I want you to see it? Don't worry about anybody else. See, you see him grab the one guy and say, hey, but do you see this building? You know what he said? Lunatic. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. I prophesy and declare to you that this is going to be the year to see and believe. It's going to be in this year that God is going to bring to the forefront of your mind some things he has shown you before. But you stopped believing because it just didn't seem to add up, or it just didn't seem to match up with your reality. But I declare to you right now that if you will say, God, open my eyes to see again, open my eyes to see afresh. Be honest enough to say, I believe, I need you to help my unbelief. I don't want to keep going through this cycle. I don't want to keep going through this process that seems to work sometimes and not another time. I need to see the reality of the redemptive work of Calvary. I need to see the manifestation of the power of God that I read about in the scriptures. I need to experience it. I need to see it, and I need to be used by you to bring it into existence for those that are around me. If you can agree with that prophetic word, come on, just thank God and receive it right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I got 1.5 minutes, and I just need to drop one more nugget on you real quick here. And it's found in Numbers 13. And it has to do with when the spies were sent out in order to investigate. And they were sent out to spy. They were sent out to see. They were sent out to see. They were sent out to bring back a report. And it says this, it says, when they returned from spying out the land at the end of the 40 days, they proceeded, I'm at Numbers 13, 25, to come to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh, and they brought back word to them, to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Showed them the fruit of the land. If you go back and you read, you'll notice that he says, pay close attention to the fruit. Why? He wants them to bring back evidence. Yes. Wants them to bring back evidence. And then they come back and they say, we went into the land where you sent us, and certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. They're bringing back the stuff. But then they said, nevertheless. That's like saying, however. That's like saying, but. And you know that when you say, but, you just canceled out, negated what you just said. I forgive you, but. I love you, but. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land. Now we're talking about vision here. Say vision. We're talking about seeing here. Say seeing. It says, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak, and Anak there, he says, Amalek is living in the land of Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites are living in the hill country, and the Canaanites are living by the sea, and there's just so many of them, and it's just terrible. I just threw that in, but that's about where it was going, okay? Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, hold on, let me get my notes here. We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. Now, what's happening here? They're talking about it from the way they see it. Caleb has a perspective through heaven's eyes. He's looking through eyes of faith. Because the word that they got, the instructions wasn't go in and see if we can take the land. Right. See if we can win. It was just go get some fruit. Just tell us who's in there. That's all we want to know. And then it goes on and says this. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us. So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report to the land which they had spied out, which they had saw, saying, the land which we have gone in spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. Now, all of this now is projection. Say projection. They didn't see this happening. This is where they went in their minds. And one of the things that will keep you, keep me, from being able to see God's reality is where we allow our minds to go with things, particularly when it doesn't seem to add up. It says, and all the people whom we saw, that they're seeing now, in it, are men of great size. There also was the son of Nephilim. And we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Now I'm ending with this. In this year of 2020, seeing and believing, you must be mindful of this. It's not what you see, it's how you see yourself in light of what you see. It's not just what you see, it's how you see yourself in light of what you see. Because you see, the challenge for them is that once they added it all up, they said, we were as grasshoppers. What's that saying? We saw ourselves small. We saw ourselves insignificant. We saw ourselves inadequate. And if you live in that space, it will nullify your ability to continually, clearly see what God has for you, what God desires to do through you. Open our eyes, Father, so that we can see. Not just what we see around us, but see the reality of who you've called us to be, who you have made us to be. That's why when you read again in Jeremiah, he says to Jeremiah, see, today I appointed you over the nations. He's saying, see. When he spoke to Joshua, he says, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. And this is my last point. At that moment when he's saying that, all he's wanting you to do is believe him. That's it. When he says, see, I've given you the city, I've given you Jericho. Now, he's not asking you, he's not saying, see, and I want you to figure out how to get it done. He's saying, I've already given it to you. Believe me, believe me, and it'll come to pass. He says to Jeremiah, see, I called you as a prophet to the nations. Now, he'd already had the conversation with him about Jeremiah saying, you know, I'm young. He says, don't say you're too young. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. What is God showing you today? And he's saying, all I'm asking you to do is, all I'm requiring of you is just to believe me. That's it. Because the moment, hear me, the moment he says it, see it, you see it, you believe it, with no strings attached, all of heaven begins to move because now faith is in operation. Hallelujah. That's the word for today. I hope that is blessing you. I hope that is changing you. I hope that is shifting you.